Hello and welcome to A Health Podicy. I'm your host, Alan Weil. More than 1.3 million Americans reside in nursing homes. Over the course of the 20th century, nursing homes evolved from being primarily associated with charitable organizations to most being owned by for-profit companies. More recent trends have included the growing role of nursing home chains, and then most recently, the entrance of private equity firms and real estate investment trusts, or REITs, as owners or investors. With research revealing that profit-oriented ownership structures can yield a lower quality of care, the Biden administration announced various reforms designed to increase nursing home ownership transparency and accountability. Are current approaches to understanding nursing home ownership sufficient to achieve accountability for quality? That's the topic of today's episode of A Health Podicy. I'm here with Amanda Chen, a PhD candidate in health policy at Harvard University. Ms. Chen and co-authors published a paper in the March 2024 issue of Health Affairs examining nursing home ownership data recently released by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS. They found significant gaps in the completeness and the timeliness of the data. We'll discuss these shortcomings and what to do about them in today's episode. Ms. Chen, welcome to the program.
Hi, Alan. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you as a guest today, and this is such an important topic. Let's start with just some of the basics for our listeners. Give us a sense of who runs nursing homes, who owns them, how's that changed in recent years? Just set the stage a little bit for the research that you published with us.
Sure. So as you briefly highlighted, in the U.S., there are roughly 15,000 nursing homes who provide care for about 1.3 million nursing home residents. Of these 15,000 nursing homes, about 70% are for-profit, followed by nonprofit ownership, and then a small share of nursing homes are owned by the government. Historically, there has been a lot of attention around nursing home ownership because there are concerns that for-profit nursing homes in particular might have differences in their operation structure and their incentives to maximize profit. For example, there's prior literature identifying an association between for-profit nursing homes and lower quality of nursing home care, particularly with higher reported hospitalization rates and lower ratings of the care experience reported by nursing home residents and their family members.
So we have reason to be attentive to the question of ownership. Then comes in private equity and REITs, things that we're hearing a lot about in healthcare, maybe not so much in the context of nursing homes. So say a little bit about what these financial instruments are, what their presence is in the nursing home environment.
Yeah, exactly. So the nursing home ownership landscape has become much more complex these days with the growth of private equity, or PE, and real estate investment trust, or REIT, investments. So PE refers to firms who are focused on venture capital and leverage buyouts, whereas REITs or corporations which invest in income-producing properties, such as the property that the nursing home sits on. Recent reporting has assessed that about 5% of nursing homes have PE investment, 9% of nursing homes have REIT investments, and then 2% have investments by both. I think it's important to understand the role of PE and REIT investments in nursing homes because nursing homes with these types of investments might operate differently from other for-profit nursing homes. This may be because some of these investments usually involve short time horizons for holding the investment, so there might be increased turnover or changes in ownership experience. These are also investments by entities which historically don't have much experience providing nursing home care, so there might be concerns about the quality of care being delivered due to their inexperience. Additionally, institutional investors may utilize related party transactions where they pay inflated prices to providers of services or supplies that are owned or controlled by the nursing home owner as a mechanism to obscure profits.
So this is really interesting. I just want to make sure I understand what you've said, because these are different dimensions, all that seem like they could potentially be important. So one, of course, is the idea of just extracting profit. Any profit-making entity presumably wants to make money, but the time horizon for venture capital can be short in a way that would lead to the question of sort of how do we suck as much out of this enterprise as possible in as short a time as possible, and then presumably just leave it behind for someone else to clean up the mess. And I suppose that's related in part to the third item you mentioned around relationships with related parties, that they're sort of not entirely transparent financial relationships that can be used to do that. Is that, am I getting that relationship about right?
Yeah, I think there's the two components you highlight. One related about the short time horizon, so they have incentive to kind of get their foot in the door, make as much profits as possible, and get out. And then the second is the way that they might maximize their profits or obscure profits is that they can pay prices to entities which are linked to the nursing home owner, but there might not be a clear pathway to identify, you know, what these relationships actually look like.
And then you mentioned another very different issue, which is the lack of experience. And this seems very important as well, that if you view this basically as a financial enterprise rather than a place where human beings live, and then your whole approach to the endeavor may just be lacking some basic understanding. Certainly the nursing home model has evolved. I don't mean the ownership model. I mean the care model has evolved over years as our understanding of how to provide dignity and a dignified environment for people to live in has changed. I suppose someone jumping in saying, this looks like a great money-making opportunity might have just no awareness of any of that.
Yeah, exactly. As you highlighted, I think the nursing home population is one which tends to be vulnerable with multiple cognitive impairments. They tend to be older and frail. And so the care needs of these residents is unique. And for an entity who doesn't have experience providing this care, I think that's concerning for them to just jump in and expect, you know, results or to understand the care processes in these facilities from day one.
So it's fair to say, I think, based on what you're describing, that although the dominance of for-profit has been around for some decades, the emergence of PE and REIT investment is an additional layer of potential concern and need for consideration. So we have these new reforms put out that your paper focuses on. Can you say a little bit about what they were trying to do?
Sure. So just to highlight what we were trying to do in this study is that we were trying to leverage new publicly released data in 2022 by the Biden administration. And just to like provide some context about what the reform was and why the Biden administration announced this. So efforts to improve the transparency and accountability of nursing homes have existed for decades. There have been public-facing efforts like CMS's Nursing Home Care Compare Report Cards and the five-star rating system, where nursing homes are rated from 1 to 5 stars, to provide easy metrics to gauge nursing home quality. There was also a component of the Affordable Care Act, which established requirements for the disclosure of additional information regarding owners, operators, and the management of nursing home. But this provision wasn't fully implemented until over a decade later in January of this year. So given this context, in 2022, the Biden administration announced a series of reforms to address the quality of care in nursing homes. Their goal was to understand changes in the size of nursing home change, assess what the ownership structure of these nursing homes, such as whether these nursing homes have individual or multiple owners, and assess the impact of nursing home ownership on market concentration. So these plans included the release of new data on changes of ownership, individual and organizational owners, and common ownership. To provide some details about these new data, CMS in 2022 released a skilled nursing facility changes of ownership file, which provides data on mergers, acquisitions, consolidations, and changes of ownership dating back to 2016 to understand how these ownership structures are changing over time. This data is based on information collected through PACOS, which is the Provider Enrollment Chain and Ownership System, which all Medicare-certified facilities are required to submit on enrollment for revalidation, or if there are any changes, such as a change of ownership. They also released a corresponding owner's file, which included the name of the owner, type of owner, so whether that was an individual or an organization, and the role of the owner and their ownership share. And then lastly, there was a third set of data which focused on common ownership using affiliated entities, which in simplistic terms involves having one organizational owner or entity with an ownership interest in at least one other nursing home. There is a slight distinction between this definition of affiliated entities and defining a chain that I do want to highlight. So, for example, a 10% investment in multiple nursing homes would be captured as a common investor, or in CMS's terms, an affiliated entity, but these facilities themselves might be part of different chains. In addition, Nursing Home Care Compare has been updated to include the affiliated entity name and ID to allow for comparisons across different performance measures. So you can see now how facilities are associated with the affiliated entity, how many states they operate in, what share the facilities are for profit, and star ratings information, which I think is an important step forward. So in the study, we leverage all of these newly released ownership data to assess the completeness of CMS's public data. We look at, well, are they able to capture PE and REIT investments, we make comparisons between affiliated entities and chains, and then we assess the completeness of the ownership shares reported.
Okay, so we have these new data coming out from the federal government designed to capture some of the phenomena that we've been discussing so far around it's who owns what and what their status is and how the different enterprises are related to each other. You brought up the issue of chains, which is another sort of emerging practice in nursing homes. And the idea here is the more we know about who owns what, the easier it is for us to start asking the question, are they providing the kind of quality environment and the quality care that we would expect? So you need good data on ownership if you're going to have accountability around ownership. And the question then is, how good are the data that came out? And we will answer that question after we take a short break. And we're back. I'm speaking with Amanda Chen about the new data from CMS on nursing home ownership. We've thus far described the importance of having accurate information regarding the role of private equity and real estate investment trusts, PE and REITs, and the complicated relationships of ownership and investment that can occur across these. And so the Biden administration says, here's the data. You looked at it and found some challenges. Tell us what you found. Let's start with sort of how comprehensive it was. Did they capture what it is we feel like we need to know?
Sure. So on the topic of the completeness and comprehensiveness of the data, we use data which has been leveraged in a few other previous studies looking into this issue of nursing home ownership. We used a proprietary data source, which included information of the investors and the date of investment, which relied on public announcements of PE and REIT investments. When we did this, there were a couple of things that jumped out to us. When we looked to see how many of these changes of ownership could be matched to what was reported in our proprietary data source to CMS's skilled nursing facility change of ownership data, we found that between 2016 and 2023, we found that only 33% of PE investments and 17% of REIT investments were included in CMS's change of ownership file. So there seems to be some gaps in terms of what the public data is currently able to capture.
And this is I know we're not a methods podcast here, but you're looking at proprietary information. The federal government is looking at self-reported information. What is it that they're reporting out?
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, there's this PECOS form, which is the provider enrollment form that all nursing facilities would complete when they first enroll or for reefer certification or if there's a change of ownership. And so these are forms that are self-reported by the nursing home.
So based on your analysis, when the federal government releases this self-reported data, it's missing a lot of transactions that the proprietary source has identified.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, there seems to be some gaps in our knowledge in terms of what CMS's public data is currently able to capture based on the self-reporting by nursing homes.
Okay, that's helpful. And then there are also issues that you identified around timeliness and the accuracy. Say a little more about those, if you could.
So in another analysis, we looked at the owners reported in CMS's public ownership file to understand how many of these facilities had at least one owner with an ownership interest reported, as well as how many didn't report a specific ownership percentage to highlight potential gaps in the currently reported information. What we found was that there was a lot of variation in the data. Some chains had many facilities which reported at least one owner, while others had only a few facilities in the chain with at least one owner listed. Overall, we found that ownership percentages were missing in the CMS data for about 82% of owners in the top 10 largest chains and 55% of owners across all U.S. facilities. So there's actually less known about the specific ownership shares for owners that are part of these larger chains. I think this is in part due to the current reporting process. So while the information CMS requires to be collected in these Pecos forms is based on having at least a 5% reporting ownership, they don't capture those who might have less than 5% of an ownership stake, and it's really difficult to accurately figure out who might have a 10% investment versus an 85% investment in the facility, and these might matter to better understand which entity is influencing the decision-making in the nursing home. So I think it's important to comprehensively list investors to understand, you know, what is their role in the facility? Do they have a direct ownership interest, so they're owning the nursing home directly? Do they have an indirect ownership where they might have an ownership interest in an organization who then owns the nursing home? Or do they own other aspects of the facility, such as, you know, the property or the operations of the nursing home? And then finally, we identified some instances of common owners that went bankrupt, were acquired, and then rebranded. But these updates weren't yet reflected in CMS's data when we conducted the analysis for this study. So ensuring the accuracy and the timeliness and being able to keep up with these cycles of branding and restructuring deals is really important to understand the underlying ownership structure and who is ultimately responsible for the care in these nursing homes.
So, I mean, to be fair, whenever we start collecting data, we find out that, whoa, there's a lot we're missing here. And it takes a while for those who provide the data to get good at compiling what's needed. It takes a while for the government or anyone else collecting data to figure out, wait a minute, we thought we were going to get this, but we got that instead. Still, you know, when I read your paper and listen to your description, there's a lot to be desired. If the goal here is to really understand these ownership relationships in order to promote accountability, it sounds like what the government is reporting out is missing a lot. So my question to you is, assuming an environment of continuous improvement, acknowledging that you don't always get it right the first time, what guidance would you give back to CMS at this point to say, okay, you weren't quite there, maybe these are some things that would make it a little better?
Great question. I think we have several recommendations. So one of the stated goals of the Biden administration when they released this new nursing home ownership data was to be able to track and identify owners and operators across states to identify nursing homes who had previous problems with promoting and ensuring resident health and safety. So in this study, we identified that there were some large common owners who had poor safety records and a history of quality issues, but they had been allowed to purchase additional nursing homes without real penalty or additional scrutiny. I think this is really concerning because there's not a system in place currently for regulators and policymakers to take action to understand who these owners are and what is their history of meeting quality standards. So I think ultimately it'll be important for CMS to prevent these investors with a history of poor performance from acquiring these facilities without additional review or auditing to ensure the safety and protection of these nursing home residents. Other recommendations include getting a better understanding of the nursing home structure. For example, the current data cannot be used to identify the hierarchy or structure of ownership levels within the nursing home. These are really intricate webs of situations where an entity might own a percentage of a company that then owns a share of the nursing home. And it's almost impossible to disentangle all of these potential levels. Additionally, it's not possible to easily trace the chain of ownership up to identifying the parent owner who might ultimately be responsible for the decision making of the nursing home. To CMS's credit, there are a few changes that are new to 2024 that I'd like to highlight. So first, there was a CMS final rule which went into effect in January 2024. This rule included formal definitions of PE and REITs. So on form CMS 855A, which is the form used to collect the required PECOS information, nursing homes will be asked to self-report this information using new checkboxes to indicate whether the nursing home has PE or REIT investments based on the definitions provided in CMS's final rule. I think this is a really promising development and an important step forward in getting better data about which nursing homes have PE or REIT investment, because they weren't asked that previously. It wasn't collected as part of these change of ownerships in the data that we had looked at during the study. This updated form also requires that each entity which is reported to have an ownership interest or managing control in the nursing home indicate whether they're like a bank or financial institution. Are they a consulting firm? Are they a medical provider or supplier, a medical staffing company? I think these all help to better understand and collect more granular data about these potentially very complicated ownership structures, though I will say there might be some concerns that remain if perhaps facilities skirt the disclosure requests or if they restructure to avoid certain ownership categorizations. So I think it'll be important to keep an eye on as this data is collected, monitored, and analyzed.
Well, it's good to hear that there are already improvements being made, but the picture you paint, I think, is a really important one to understand. It is striking that, as in many fields, it's a relatively small number sometimes of what you would call bad actors who just have a pattern of doing a lousy job, and our ability to identify the role they're playing in the process seems important, and putting up barriers to them playing a bigger role without more scrutiny, that seems important too. And then I'm also thinking, I mean, we focused on quality, but of course, the part of the reason nursing homes have been scrutinized for decades is because they're expensive. They need a trained staff to provide services to what's a high need population. But we want to know if they're getting enough money to do what we're asking of them. And if the money's going off in places that we can't figure out because of complex ownership structures, then it's pretty hard to interpret their claims that they should be paid more. And these are, of course, enterprises that are primarily paid by public payers. So the rationale for accountability seems pretty high. In the end, I guess my closing question to you, you've mentioned some improvements. Do you see us getting a clearer picture of the role of PE and REITs and their tie to quality? Do you see us sort of having a fuzzy lens, but the lens is getting sharper? Or do you think it's a, as you alluded to, sort of a game of cat and mouse, that they'll sort of continually be able to skirt the reporting and we'll kind of never know?
I think in the last few years, with the release of these public data, there have been important step forwards in having, you know, numbers to crunch to figure out, you know, just how complete are these data. Is the data timely? Is it up to date? How accurate are these organizations and entities? Are there compliance with these reporting sources? And so I think that the picture has become clearer over time. And it seems that there are a lot of initiatives and work being done in the nursing home landscape to improve upon this picture. I think moving forward with, you know, some of these new checkboxes about, you know, what types of owners these are they PE or REITs or something else, will continue to enhance our understanding of this landscape to ultimately understand, you know, what are the effects on quality? How does an ownership by a PE or REIT investor influence the quality of care that is received? Are the payments, as you suggested, by Medicare and Medicaid adequate to cover the cost of providing care for these residents, given concerns about how profits or the flow of money might be obscured in some of these really complex ownership structures? And so I think it's a really promising field and one to continue to assess, monitor, and see how the landscape shapes up.
Well, great. And we will be here to publish the results of that analysis because this really is of great interest. Ms. Chen, thank you so much for the analysis, the writing the paper and submitting it to us. And thank you today for being my guest on Health Podyssey.
Thanks for having me today.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you'll tell a friend about the Health Podyssey.